Most of you have good hearts. That's one good part of all this. I mean, so much of this is virtually heart-stopping. That the majority of you calling who have been through these experiences, you've just got to have good hearts, right? Good, strong hearts, because here you are telling your story. East of the Rockies, your turn to tell your story. Good morning.
Good morning.
How are you, and what is your first name, and where art thou?
I am Barbara, and I'm calling from Jonesboro, Arkansas.
All right, Barb.
When I was about 12 years old, my mom had started to drink. And if you know anything about alcoholism, if they don't want to get help, you watch them get progressively worse.
Until they hit bottom, that's right.
Yeah, so over the years, that's what happened until I was about 19. And at that point, I watched my mom get very bad and watched her change physically over the years. And she finally died an alcoholic. She just wouldn't get help.
I'm so sorry.
But one day, about 3 months after she died, I had gone back to the house where I was not living at home at the time. I went back to help my dad, and there were some dirty dishes in the sink, so I decided I would wash them up, and I was just kind of not thinking about anything, looking out the window at the backyard where I used to play, and I just felt like somebody had walked in the room and was standing next to me, and I looked over really quick, and there's my mother standing. But she looked at me, and I was so shocked. She looked, her face was all glowing, and her skin looked really healthy, and she looked healthy. Her hair looked soft. And she said to me, "Don't worry about me. I am so happy now." And she was smiling. That's something I hadn't seen her done in years. And I don't know why I did this, but I kind of turned to the other direction, I guess for a reality check. And then I looked back, and as I was turning my head back, I wanted to say, "Mom,"
right.
And she was gone.
And she was gone. All right, here's what I want to ask you. And I'm sure you've asked yourself this many times. We hear so many stories like the one you just told, although usually not an appearance and rarely does the person talk like this, but is there any possibility that your mind could have concocted this, you know, in some sort of, as some sort of psychological calming for yourself? Or
no.
Did no chance of that? This was real, huh?
Yeah, because I was just so shocked, and afterwards I was shaking because I thought, my goodness, it's just so bizarre. And I never told my dad because I just felt he wouldn't believe me. But, you know, because of this whole thing with alcoholism, my mom and I didn't have a very good relationship anyway.
Right.
And her coming to me and smiling and just saying, "Don't worry, I'm okay," was just weird. I mean, it was just out of character, I guess you'd say.
Well, so. Well, there are many who believe that on the other side, if we make it, you know, to the supposed good place, you are restored to your best health and all the rest of that sort of thing. And so maybe it's all true.
I know, but she was glowing. I mean, she just had this glowing appearance.
Very healthy. The exact opposite of what she was in life. That's, I hope that's true. and for you, is it now true? I mean, was it so real that you have no doubt at all in your mind about kind of the nature of the other side now?
Oh, I wish that were true, but I still question myself.
You still have questions, huh?
Yeah, because I don't know. I don't know. I guess everybody goes through a period where they kind of question, if they had faith, they kind of question it. And then maybe that's where I'm at now, but I remembered this story. As I was listening to your show, and I thought, oh, my gosh,
yeah,
I remember
well,
that.
Well, thank you. Thank you very much for calling. And that was an important question for me. I mean, the question about could, and she responded so quickly, no. You know, could it have been some sort of psychological protection, you know, of your own mind reaching out and telling you what you essentially want to hear? But she came back very quickly, no. West of the Rockies, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hello, Art.
Yes, sir.
Hi, this is Murray in Portland.
I'm sorry, the first name again? Murray?
Murray.
Murray. Okay, welcome, Murray.
Thank you, sir. I'm a long time listener. I started listening to you in 1991 or 1992.
It's been a while.
A long ride. Well, the reason I'm calling is that I had quite a ghost experience in 1988, and it's changed my life forever. And it's funny, when I found your show, I found that I wasn't the only guy out there that experienced this type of stuff. That was great.
Well, you know, that is one thing about this program, of course, that people do hear other people, and then they say to themselves, I guess, well, I guess I'm not nuts.
My wife still thinks I am.
How so? All right, so what happened?
Well, I was going to school in Fulton, Missouri, a place called Westminster College, and TV ended there. We were poor, you know, pretty bad shape at that time. Couldn't afford cable. So TV shuts off pretty early, and you have to find something else to do.
Right.
We had turned on, I was with my cousin Mark and my friend Peter, and TV had ended. Yet we hadn't turned the TV off. We were just doing other things. We, by that time, a stereo would come on.
I was going to ask, is that back to the days when TV stations would sign off, play the Star Spangled Banner,
that's
and go
right.
off the air?
That's right.
Yeah.
I believe the last show was Star Trek, and then they would do that. And that was out of Jeff City, Missouri. It was the only TV you could get.
Okay, so I remember all that, yes.
Yeah, those old days. So white noise had come on through the little television. It was probably a 14-inch TV.
That's right.
And my friend Peter was just noticed out of the corner of his eye, you could see images running in the snow. And it looked like, you know, a feed from another station. And it was quiet. It was odd. It was very odd. And 5 minutes of this or something. And then it just passed. It was, and we turned the TV off, listening to a record.
Right.
And this is where all reality ended. And I had the weirdest experience of my life. We're just sitting there in his living room at my cousin's house. And then we just hear a large groan come out of the kitchen.
A groan.
And it definitely caught our attention. We're like, what was that?
Human or animal type groan?
Human, definitely. From behind the corner, which would have been out of the kitchen, steps a lady. It looks like she's made of black smoke. You can see right through her. You can see the wall, the door behind her. And where she stopped in front of me, I could see a speaker behind her.
This is the moment you know your heart's okay, by the way.
It was definitely strange. I looked at my cousin. He looked at me. We're like, what is going on? And she's looking at us, and we're looking at her. And it got really strange from there. I don't understand when she disappeared. But the next thing we saw in front of us were three little boys playing jacks at our feet on the hardwood floors of the apartment.
Here we go again.
Little boys playing jacks, and you could, same thing, see right through them. They were made of black smoke, like when you burn plastic. I don't know, when I was a teenager growing up in Missouri, like on 4th of July, you'd see plastic burning. It was just acrid black smoke, and it was just angry. It was just strange.
God, that'd
okay.
be, and more?
Oh, it just keeps going, sir. And I'll try to hurry, because I know we have a few listeners out there. I just think we mentally, all three of us, kind of lost it so much when we saw these little boys playing. And two were skinny, and one was heavier. And that was even funny. We all remember the same thing today. Somehow, that made a segue. I just cannot explain it. And that's the weirdest thing of the whole story, is that suddenly there was a little girl. It reminded my mother, like Shirley Temple growing up, it reminded me of Shirley Temple. And she was doing cartwheels in place at the exact same place where we saw the older lady ghost and the boys playing.
And again, black smoke?
Just see right through. Now, you know, I heard that term shadow people for all these years on your program, and
yeah.
I just don't know if that applies. I just don't even...
Well, I was almost going to jump to that myself. Anyway, did this all end, or how did it...
No. You know, did I mention that they were wearing period clothes? It was evident to us that
they
were.
Oh, no, you did not mention that.
I'm so sorry. I'm a little excited.
When you say period clothes, what period?
Minimum turn of the century. You know, it's not a PC thing, but the
you mean early, like 1900s?
Earlier. This is Fulton, Missouri. You know, they, Kingdom of Callaway, they seceded from the state and during the Civil War and stuff, so they've had a long, you know, a long history there.
Right.
Well, look, to cut to the point, we were watching this, observing this, and just couldn't believe it. And then there was just no image, I think, where it was with our thoughts. It's very hard to explain. And then in kicks the front door, and an African-American guy, big old man, runs in very angry. And he's pointing and yelling into the kitchen area where that original apparition had walked out. And he's just angry. You can tell he's a very abusive man. It just scared us to death. Then he saw us. He turned at me. He looked me straight in the eyes, and he just cut across the room straight at me. And he got to within 3 or 4 feet of me, stared me straight in the face.
And?
He proceeded. He pulled his hand back and tried to punch me 2 or 3 times repeatedly. My friends are screaming at me. They're sitting down a little bit lower on a couch. They're screaming, they're like, no, no. And he swings at me. And he didn't make contact. He could not make contact. And he stepped back about a foot, and I sat up in my chair, and he looked at me, and I looked at him, and absolutely positively, right there, we just knew we were just worlds apart.
Boy, you're right about one thing. That's where reality ended, and then all of this whole thing began.
And I could just see it on his face, and I just don't remember much. I remember my friends were like whimpering.
Yeah, I'm sure.
And we were just so in shock.
And you all remember it the same way now?
Exactly. One of my friends, after this, quit school. I'm like, it changed our lives completely.
I'm sure it would. You know, that's into a, how would you describe that? It's like you walked into, no, because there were several of them. So a different world opened up in front of you. Different creatures, different, perhaps a different dimension. I really don't know how to describe what I just heard. That's really weird stuff. Several entities of some sort, just a whole collage of them, maybe that's a bevy of them. You're on the air, Ghost to Ghost AM05. Hi.
Hello?
Yes, sir.
Hello, Art Bell. How you doing, man? I'm calling from San Antonio. This is John.
Yes, John.
We love you, man. You're awesome, dude.
Thank you. You have a story for us, John?
Yeah, I just wanted to talk. One time I had a, it was on Halloween. It was down here in San Antonio at the train tracks. And
the famous train tracks?
The famous train tracks. And we went out there one day with a couple of friends, and we're in the back of a very big pickup truck. It was a 4x4 off-road, very big. And there was four of us in the back of the truck. We went to the train tracks, and we did it one time. Went through it, and, you know, we're messing around, goofing, laughing.
All right,
about
you
it.
Really ought to tell the audience, I suppose, a little bit of the background of the train track story in San Antonio.
Well, it's supposedly of a school bus that tried to go over, and I think it stalled.
The school bus stalled.
The school bus stalled, and supposedly they didn't get the kids out on time. The train came and took all of them.
Right. But now, subsequent to that, there have been so many stories about people who have intentionally parked their vehicles on the train tracks, some of them sprinkling powders and stuff, and these vehicles are pushed over these train tracks in San Antonio, and you can actually see little children's hand marks on the back of the vehicles.
Yeah, I tried the baby powder, but I never got anything from that. But what's amazing is that this vehicle that we're in was very big, very humongous.
And did it move?
Yeah, it moved. It moved it. And what was weird is that it goes it goes up on a hill a little bit. And the third time around, I was telling my friend to mess with the brakes. He kept messing with the brakes. I told him, when you get right to the slope and the truck's pointing kind of up at an angle, I said, step on the brakes. I said, and make it come to a complete stop. He did that, and then I told him to let it go because I wanted to see if he was going to push the big...
Were really testing this, weren't you?
They pushed over the truck, and it went sliding to a slope to the side, And there was four guys in the back. I had four friends in the back. And there was three people inside the truck. We were in the middle, my friend Donald, Angel driving the truck, four of us in the back.
And you all witnessed.
Yeah, well, we had already did it about three times. And the third time when we were doing it,
yes,
we did that slope, and we heard a bunch of children crying. We could hear, you're talking, I heard from 7 to 8 children
crying,
moaning and crying, and this was the best surround sound that you could have ever heard of children just crying. We freaked out, and everybody looked at each other. We told each other, did y'all hear that? And they said, yeah, and I asked them what they hear, and they said that they heard children crying. Two guys in the back claimed that they heard a train coming. I didn't hear no train coming, but I heard, we all heard the children crying, man, and let me tell you, it scared. It scared us. I just started yelling to the guys.
Well, you should not have. All right. First of all, you should not have been testing that in that way. You know, I've heard from enough people about this story that I guess I believe it's true. That these children that were killed now push vehicles off these train tracks. But to go and intentionally test it in the way you did and to apply the brakes and to cause these entities to break out in tears, that's a little much. I don't think I'd be testing it in that way. That's really tempting some kind of fate, I think. You're on the air, Coast to Coast AM with Art Bell. Hi.
Good morning, Art.
Good morning. Where are you, sir?
Mike in Traverse City, Michigan.
Hey, Mike.
How are you this morning?
Well, a little freaked out, but...
It is so good to hear you on the radio.
Thank you.
And our story comes kind of from the old country, from Ireland.
Okay, you're going to have to speak up good and loud for me.
Okay. My wife and I make a number of trips to Ireland. We've been there three of the last 4 years and four times total. And we like to hunt out castles. And there are so many there that the people are so nice, you can usually knock on a door or of a caretaker or the castle itself and get the guided tour or get permission.
Yeah, that's cool. I'd love to go castle hunting myself.
Oh, it's great. It's so ancient, and my wife kind of has that touch. Her grandmother's from Ireland, and they said she had the shining, so to speak.
Oh.
But there are some castles that you just can't get permission because nobody's around, and so you, hate to say it, you trespass. And you figure if you get caught, you apologize, and hopefully
really?
Just leave.
Okay.
But we went to Charleville. Right, pretty much smack in the center of Ireland. It's a Gothic castle built, I'd say, in the mid-1700s.
Yes, sir.
And reputedly one of the most haunted in Ireland. And, again, literally sits right in the center of the island. We hit it on a Friday afternoon, and it's got one of those long, winding roads that goes through oak groves and trees, and it's just the most ghoulish thing you could imagine.
Yes.
And we hit it, finally made that about 1 mile drive up the driveway, and parked in the parking lot, and just a beautiful Gothic castle, very big. And went and knocked on the door, and of course nobody answered. And so we kind of just walked the perimeter, and we noticed a lot of sawhorses and construction material around, and we figured, like a lot of old castles, it was under renovation.
Yes.
So we kind of kept walking the perimeter, and then we heard a horn honk, and we thought, well, we're busted. We might as well, you know, go admit and then leave. And came around, and there was a few more cars in the parking lot, and people that were dressed up in suits and tuxedos were going in the castle. So we asked one what was going on, and they basically ignored us. And we kind of followed them in and saw that they were taking wedding pictures. So we're in our grubby jeans and shirts, and they're in tuxedos and everything. We felt kind of out of place. So
I'm sure. You're crashing a party. Kind of. All right. Listen, can you hold tight?
You bet.
We're at a break. All right. Back to the castle we shall come after the break. From the high desert in the middle of Halloween 05, you just stay right where you are. We've got lots more.
It's magic.